Starting in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21.
En Mateo capítulo 1 y versículo 21.
Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. It says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Want you to notice the last phrase in there? "For he shall save his people from their sins." Now let's turn to Luke chapter 19 and verse 10.
Lucas capítulo 19, versículo 10.
This is the Lord Jesus speaking. "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And one more verse, let's turn to the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 53. Isaías 53. Versículo 3 and verse 3. "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep, we have gone astray and have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." I want you to notice here in verse 5, "With his stripes we are healed." In verse 6, "And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." That's all we're going to be reading for the moment. So today is Christmas, and as you know, it's a pretty worldwide celebration. It's a holiday that talks about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But today, I don't want to talk a lot about the birth. I want to talk about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that was the purpose when he came to this earth. And even though people seem to forget more and more about what Christmas is or what it really means by bringing Santa Claus, it's not about Santa Claus or gifts or, Christmas trees or anything like that. But I want you to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ for a minute this morning. So what was the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ coming here to this earth and to this planet? We read on the first verse that she shall come forth a son, and ye shall call his name Jesus. Why? Because he would save his people from their sins. Why would God come to this earth, become a man, and be born of a human? What was his purpose? Even before he was born, they were told that he was going to save his people from their sins. He was going to save his people from what? From their sins. And that word sins is a really key word in salvation. Because we all are sinners. The Bible talks in Romans that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you can think, even if you didn't know that verse, think of one man aside from Christ that hasn't committed a sin. You can say Gandhi, or you can say Mother Teresa, or John Paul II. And it's okay, they were good people. but they were sinners, just like you and just like me. And that sinful nature has been with us since the beginning with Adam and Eve. There is a coworker of mine. He looks like a Mexican. He has the last name of a Mexican, but he doesn't speak anything. He doesn't speak Spanish at all. And when I first met him, I talked to him in Spanish, but he was like, "Oh, I don't speak Spanish." So I asked him, and he was telling me that when California was part of Mexico, it was in 1848. When Mexico sold like more than half of a territory to the United States. California was part of Mexico, Nevada, Texas, all of that. And there were people living here. And this family of him was here. And it was after the war, and they asked the people, "Do you want to keep living here, or you want to go back to Mexico?" And to me, it's interesting because all of a sudden, you wake up and you're like, you wake up in a different country, but you wake up in the same house. And these people, they decided to stay here. But now they were not in Mexico, now they were in the United States. And of course, they didn't speak English because they were living in Mexico. So time passed, and this guy, my coworker, he's like, I think the fifth or the sixth generation, and he doesn't speak Spanish at all. And to me, it was interesting how the language got lost within time. 5 or 6 generations later, the language was lost. He didn't speak Spanish anymore. You know what else was lost? The customs. He doesn't have the same customs as they did back there. You know what else changed? The food. He doesn't eat the same food as their great-great-grandparents, I guess. But the only thing that remained was the sinful nature. And that has been going on since Adam and Eve. Today I speak Spanish. That's my first language, and I feel comfortable speaking Spanish. I try to speak English, and probably 5 or 6 generations from now, my descendants won't speak Spanish anymore, but they will still have my sinful nature because they will inherit that from their parents. And just like you, you have your parents, you have inherited their sinful nature. You don't teach a newborn how to sin. When they disobey, you didn't teach him how to disobey. It seems like it's just natural. And that is the very problem that we have inside of our souls, the sin. And that's why there was a time when the Savior came to this planet and he was born. Why? To save his people from their sins. I've heard that he came here to this planet to teach us how to live or to teach us how to die. We have the Bible and we have the Ten Commandments, and he didn't come to teach us how to live. His purpose was to give his life on the cross and pay for your sins. Now I want to ask you, are you saved? Do you have your sins forgiven? The purpose of of Christ coming here, it was you. And when you think of Christmas, I hope that you don't think of presents, you don't think of someone or something else, that you think that that man that was born almost 2,000 years ago came here to save me. We read that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. We, in our sins, we are lost. And that's just a reality. And if you don't do something about it, you're going to be lost forever. So, how does it work then? How will I get saved? Or how would he save his people from their sins? Well, that's what we read in Isaiah chapter 53. He was crucified. That's what we read on verse 6. And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. God put the payment of your sins on Christ on the cross of Calvary. And that's what he did on the cross. That was salvation for you and for me. Now, what do I have to do then? Well, I want you to read John chapter 19 and verse 30. If you have your Bible, let's turn to it. John 19 and verse 30. Juan capítulo 19 y versículo 30. Do I have to do sacrifices? Do I have to do good works? Do I have to go every Sunday to a church? What do I have to do to be saved? Let's read on verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. It is finished. Everything has been already done. You don't have to do anything for it. We couldn't do anything for it. Salvation is not something that you can do. Salvation is not something that you're going to work your way up to heaven. It is finished. All you have to do is accept Him and put your trust in Him. He already paid for your sins. That was His only purpose when He came to this planet. And He was born in humility. And He grew up. And all this time, His purpose was to save His people from their sins. And if you change that, and you make it individually, and you put your name on that, He came to seek and to save you. He came to save you from your sins. And when He was hanging on that cross, can you imagine that? That picture is just something. Hands and feet nailed on the cross. He was naked. He was mocked. He had a crown of thorns. And He was hanging there. And it's not that they killed Him, or they forced Him to do that. He was voluntarily there because He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And He came to seek and to save you. You that are sitting here on this bench this morning. Are you saved? That's a question that you have to ask yourself. If He came to seek and to save that which was lost, that means He came to seek and to save me. Am I still lost? If you were to die today, where would you be? The other day I went to pick up my family to TJ, to Tijuana. And we were thinking of having a good time getting together after not seeing each other for a long time. And right when I was about to cross the border, well, it was raining and there was an accident. And there was a guy laying on the floor. They would cover him up with a blanket. He had an accident. He probably was thinking the same thing that I was thinking. He probably was thinking, "I'm going to go pick up my family and have a good time and be together." But he couldn't make it. I don't want to say that you're lucky to be here, because God has a time for you. But you don't know what the time is. But you are here this morning. And you are hearing the gospel. You're hearing what God has to say about your soul. And if you haven't received him, you will be on your way to hell for eternity. You have an opportunity right now. You don't know if you will have it tomorrow. That's why it's urgent for you to be saved. Because you don't know tomorrow. And if you want to keep something in mind, if we resume the gospel, it would be, we are sinners. God is holy. We cannot be in his presence like that. So that's why he came and died for you on the cross. And all you have to do is trust in him, accept him as your Savior, and you will be on your way to heaven. What do you have to do? John chapter 19 and verse 30. It is finished. Done. You don't have to do anything. Just put your trust in him. Leave every thought aside and just put your faith on him, on the one that died for you on the cross, and you will be saved. God is an almighty God, and God is so powerful that he knows your thoughts. You don't have to stand up and come to the front and lift up your hand. If you simply put your trust in him, repent from your sins, and realize that you're on your way to hell without God, without Christ, and accept him as your Savior, and you will be saved. That's what the Bible says. So today, I hope that it will be the day that you will remember, because that day will change your eternity forever. You don't have the opportunity forever. That's why it's important for you to accept Christ right now. Let us pray. Our Father, we enter in thy holy presence. We want to thank thee, Lord, for the opportunity of preaching the gospel today. And we want to ask thee, Father, for thy blessing upon those who have heard the message, those who have not received yet salvation. And we want to ask thee, Father, for thy blessing on the rest of the day. And we do all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.